Please be seated. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. So goes the prayer of St. Francis. Very popular prayer. Heard it quoted on occasion, if not in whole and in part. In fact, one of these seven habits of highly effective people talks about seeking first to understand more than being understood. First, seek to be understood. Those words came to mind as I reflected on the candle of peace, this servant song, and the song of Mary. As I said, we're going to be looking at the different songs of individuals in Luke, but reading those through the eyes of the servant songs of Isaiah. Those are songs, prophecies that spoke to a Redeemer, a Savior that would come. Today we have the first servant song. We see about the mission of the servant to bring forth justice to the nations. A vision that extends beyond Israel. Peace and restoration for all. So again, in these songs, we get that hint that yes, Israel has a special place, but others will be brought to the table. We see in the servant song that the character of the servant is gentle and compassionate, faithful and persistent. And we see a connection to peace. True peace is established through justice, humility, and is brought together through that. Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. We have these words of Mary's song in response to the big news that you will be giving birth to the Savior. She speaks of God's mercy and justice, exalting those of humble estate. She speaks of God's covenant faithfulness, how God helped the servant Israel as a fulfillment of the promises. Peace, for the Lord comes to those on the sides, and compassion. Here she knows, and that in this mission, his work will be fulfilled. Now, Mary's song bears a resemblance to Hannah's song from 1 Samuel. She would have known the story, known the words of Scripture. Hannah and her husband, he had two wives. One was able to have children. Hannah was not, and she prayed, "Oh Lord, give me a child. I will dedicate that child to you." And it happened. And these are words of praise that she gives. That child was Samuel. And at maybe about two or so had him brought to the worship center of the time where he was raised to be a great. He was the last of the great judges of Israel. And she saw him every year. And she had other children too. So it was not one of these, here's my one child and I don't see it again. She had other children that followed. But the words are very similar. And here in her words, Hannah gives praise for God's deliverance. She also speaks about a reversal. Both of these women recognize God as the source of true peace and justice. Both trust in God's rule. In these words of these women and these words of Isaiah, we see the goodness of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have the promise of peace for all nations. The servant will extend the peace, it said in Isaiah, and Mary's song reflects that fulfillment. In Jesus Christ, we see the peace of God as a product of both justice and mercy. The servant establishing justice and humility. Mary speaks of lifting up the lonely, those on the side. Jesus is that source. Now, Judy Fletcher will be your speaker for the women's retreat. And as I've said before, I remember her speaking at a Montreat youth conference. The year before, though, the theme was Shalom Prince, P-R-I-N-T-S, Prince of Peace. I can still wear the t-shirt too. But anyway, that we talked about shalom, peace, in the sense that in the Hebrew idea, it's more than just the absence of war. That it is a sense of wholeness, of restoration. It's not, and I'm going to say negative, like, okay, there's no war. It's positive. There's more to it than that. In fact, there's much at the time the Presbyterian Church had this statement, peacemaking, the believer's calling, ways that one can be about making peace. Some of them might be a little too political for people here, for many folks, but others were the kind of works that we need to be doing. Such as what was done for the children of Pechass. That is an act of peacemaking, giving something to them. But also about healing and restoration in relationships. It's been said there's peacekeeping and then there is peacemaking. Now, I'm much better at peacekeeping, as I think many of us are. Let's just not go there. You know, it's Christmas. This could be Aunt Susan's last one. So let's make it a good one. Let's put best foot forward. Smile and nod. That kind of thing. Just keep the tension down. And sometimes that's just what you need to do. And I'm very good about that. Peacemaking can be a little sticky on the front end. It might mean hard conversations and people having to listen on both sides, seeking to understand more than being understood. And on the front end, peacemaking may not look very peaceful, but the byproduct will be peaceful. How are we called to be instruments of God's peace in our circles of influence? How can we embrace the humility and justice of Jesus Christ in our relationships? This is a season where some peacekeeping will be done, but hopefully that could be a launch for peacemaking in the new year. We had that good Christmas together. We've got some good memories. Now come January, let's have some conversation, seeking to get to the other side. A story often told this time of year. I'll be listening to it in a podcast version. Actually, as I'm taking down, that's one of my traditions, is I take down Christmas items around the house. I listen to Dickens' A Christmas Carol. That's, of course, the story of Scrooge, when he gets a very miserly person, gets visited, and basically it's a conversion as he embraces Christmas. And that is a very important story. Dickens loved Christmas, and for him it was a time, a season of reconciliation, a season of healing, a season when characters and books could make peace with one another, more than keep it, but to make it. This is a season we have these opportunities. Again, what was done through PCHESS, what's being done for WARM, what can be done between one another. This is that chance through that Christmas card. It kind of gives you good reason to reach out to somebody. And maybe you're not at odds. We haven't talked in a while. Christmas, this season, gives us, and really into the new year, you got 6 good weeks where you've got an easy reason to reach out to someone who maybe have not felt that connection as of late. This is a season where we can make peace with others. So how are we called to be instruments of God's peace? I want to leave you with that question. How are we called to be instruments of God's peace in our circles of influence? How can we embrace the humility and justice of Christ in our relationships? How can we be instruments of God's peace in Jesus Christ? Amen. And now I invite you to stand and sing hymn 140, Once in David's Royal City.